And so I wanted to give a warm welcome to my friend Pastor Emmanuel Coconio. And Mama Baraka sitting right there, just give them a warm welcome as they come. Amen.
I would like to appreciate God for this opportunity to be here again after I think 1 year gone already, and we thank God for finding ourselves into this place. Amen. My wife Lucy is here. She was last year 2009. It was winter. She doesn't have any good experience with UK. At least now it has proved. UK has proved itself that sometimes it changes. There's no snow. Lucy is here. Lucy, would you like to come and say hello to us? Please. Amen. Lucy. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jazz wave unto me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm so grateful to be here. I was here 9 years ago, and I thank God that God has kept me alive to see you people again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, David says that I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. What you could not get outside, you can get it in the house of the Lord, because the presence of God dwells in the house of the Lord. Is it love that you are looking outside? You shall get it in the house of the Lord. Is it healing? You shall get in his presence. You shall get everything that you need in your life. Amen. I love you people. I love your pastor and Mama Lisa. They are a great, great, great friend. They always come in Africa, and I cook for them Kenyan food. So you are most welcome. Come to Kenya. I'll cook for you ugali and many food, many good food. Your pastor always says, Mama, I want good food. Kenyan, you have good food. God bless you. I love you so much. God bless you. And also, thank you for receiving my husband always. Whenever he comes here, you always receive him. May the Lord bless you. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much. Like, this is our home away from home. Wherever we come here, we feel at home. And this is an extension of our church from Nairobi to this place. And any time we leave from here, we feel like we are leaving from home, going to another place. But any time we are back here, we feel we are connected to our brothers and sisters, and we feel so good. I'd like to mention this publicly and appreciate my friend and my sister Vince and Lisa for receiving us to be part of what was happening here yesterday. In Africa, if it is a pastor or it is the people who are celebrating their wedding, giving you an opportunity to officiate, it is a great blessing. So I don't want to take it for granted. And this time we did not basically come to preach, but we came to attend the wedding. Yeah, that basically what we did. We had a trip to go to America. We had to cancel that trip for us to be able to make it to be here, because we were to go to be in America at the end of July, the beginning of August. And then I and my wife sat down and weighed it, you know. Alicia's wedding and a conference in Alabama. Alicia's wedding and a conference in Alabama. 3 times. And we felt like the voice was telling us to come over here. So we are very much grateful. Friends, thank you so much for allowing us to be part of that celebration. You don't know what it means to us, but we really want to appreciate you. Thank you, church, for being faithful, for praying for this ministry, this church, and your pastors. It has always been a blessing to us. And again, I would like to give you this offer. The day you'll be tired with Vince and Lisa, please call me. We'll see what we can do with them in Africa. I tell you, whenever Vince is writing that, I'll be in Kenya in the next 2 weeks, all after 1 week I'll be in Kenya. Kenya becomes chaotic because pastors are calling from all over. Will Vince come to our place? Do you think Vince belongs to you? Do you think your church deserves to listen to him every time he comes here? So the day you'll be tired, don't kill him. Call me. He'll give you my number. Call me and tell him, come and take your brother away. And you'll see what good he is to us in Africa. Praise the Lord. I say again, praise the Lord. We are doing fine. We are doing well back in Kenya. And by the grace of God, we've seen the church growing. We are also catching up with age. Now I can begin to see gray hair coming out. You know, the first time I was here, I had big bush in my head. And I was such a person, you know, I was very slim. But now you see changes over time takes place. Again, it's been nice to meet with Stanley and your wife and another sister there. Been wonderful. Been just talking online. But now it's no longer faith. This is reality. And we bless God for you. Amen. You look alike like your brother. Amen. We bless God for you. Amen. Now, I want us to open our Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 4. John, chapter number 4. I just want to talk to ourselves and remind ourselves of things which we know. These are things which we know. I'll remind ourselves to this morning, and then just to stir up your faith, stir up my faith, so that whatever we do, we'll continue to do right. I want you to mark my words, that whatever we do, we'll continue to do even better. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you for this morning. After a time of praising and worshiping, and also seeking your face, O God, in worship, God, it is time to break the bread of life. We want to say thank you, God, for this opportunity just to stand before your people. I and Lucy, this morning, we are privileged, we are blessed to stand before your people. Thank you, God. May you speak to us. Challenge our lives, challenge our ways, challenge our own understanding as human beings, and bring us to that place where, God, you want us to be. May you be glorified even as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, shall all of us say amen. Amen, amen, amen. In Africa, we say amen many times before the service is over. So I'm going to request you to say amen so time many times before the service is over. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want us to begin from verse number 10. Okay, let's begin from verse number 7, I think. I want us to capture something there. John chapter number 4 and verse number 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Verse number 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you know the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, you need to get something there. Jesus is basically talking to this woman and is telling this woman, hey, I wish you knew the gift of God, because Jesus, we did not deserve to have Jesus. Remember, Jesus is coming to reconcile us all. God, through him, reconciling us back to himself. So he is given to us as a gift. Can somebody say a gift? Now, you don't choose the gift. What you do is to receive the gift. The gift is not your choice. The gift is what given to you. And your work is just to do what? To receive. Can somebody say receive? Okay. Now, it is very important for us to understand Jesus here. He's saying something and he's saying, hey, woman, I wish you knew the gift God has given to you. There is a gift standing before you, you Samaritan woman, and I wish God open your understanding or open your eyes to see the kind of gift which is standing before you. And this gift is more than the kind of water I'm trying to ask you, because it is not me to receive water from you, but you. If only you knew it was you. If you had a revelation, it was you to ask of me. Okay, let's continue to read. Verse number 11. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Verse number 13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me the water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to drink." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truth." Now you need to get this here before we continue to read. Jesus is coming down and try also to introduce himself again or more and more to this woman. But the woman doesn't get it. So Jesus wants to do something which will bring that woman to a place in God, where she'll begin to open up her life to Jesus. And the best thing you and me can do, whenever we notice that his presence is with me, is with you, wherever you come to a place and you say, "Yes, I can sense, I can feel, his presence is here," the best thing you can do is not to hide yourself. It's to open up to him and say exactly who you are. Now, Jesus is pushing this woman to a place. He's speaking again and again. The way God has been speaking to you. Yesterday we were here, he challenged our relationships. Today he's here, he challenges our lives to do with the word of God and our relationship with Jesus. Last Sunday you were here again. Somebody spoke the word of God. From January you've been sitting somewhere, someplace in a church, listening to the word of God. God wants to bring you to a place where you open up by yourself. That is basically what he wants to do with you and me. So Jesus is telling this woman, "Okay, let's forget about the business of water here. Where is your husband? I want you to go and call your husband." Because you come to understand that Jesus, standing before this woman in the physical way, he was 100% human being. But inside, inwardly, he was 100% God. That which this woman did not know, that Jesus knew him as God, he knew it. And he knew that this woman does not have a husband. So he's pushing this woman to a place where she'll open up. And therefore Jesus comes to that place where he tells this woman, "Go and call your husband to come here too." And she says, "I do not have a husband." Jesus says, "Yes, you have said it, because you have had five. And it looks like this was the sixth one, the one she was keeping there. And even this one was not her husband." It's like a person saying, "I'm married to this man, yet deep within you, you know this is not your husband." It's like a person who says, "I'm married to this woman, yet deep within you know this is not my wife." There is something within you which can testify of the fact that you are true into what you are saying or not. And this woman with five men, probably those men used to know, "This is my wife."
Yet deep within her, she knew she was keeping a man, not a husband. And therefore, Jesus said, yes, you have had five, and now you have the sixth one here. Even the one you have right now is not your husband. There is nothing like you consider this one to be your husband. Now, Jesus wants this woman to come to a place where she confess. Everybody say confession. Everybody repeat after me, kindly say confession. Jesus wanted this woman to come to a place where she confess. She confesses that which is hidden within her life, to bring out that which has been, that which she's been struggling with, that which she has never shared with other people. People have been seeing her outside there as a woman, but inside she was struggling with things. And therefore Jesus is pushing her to a place where her by herself will come to a place and confess. And you know what, this morning Jesus is doing the same to us, because I know in Kenya we have human rights groups, and I, as a citizen of Kenya, I have some certain rights. Even when I'm here, I have the right to be in UK by the virtue that your embassy gave me the visa to be here, and therefore nobody can arrest me without me doing any mistake. As long as I drive properly, not like a Kenyan, as long as I don't abuse anybody, as long as I don't misbehave around, I have my own rights to walk in the streets of Lakenheath without anybody bothering me. As long as I have money, I can enter anywhere and buy anything. Oh, now, people have their own rights. And I know when I'm talking about rights here, or human rights, you understand it better than us in Africa. Jesus never wanted to infringe or to disturb this woman as far as her rights were concerned. Jesus wanted her to come to a place. Let me begin from here. God has the power, has the right, has the energy which is needed to break the gates of your heart. But he has chosen not to do so. He has given you the power of will to open up by yourself. No wonder Jesus said, I knock the door. And whoever hears it, he wants you voluntarily to open for him. Now, Jesus is bringing this woman in a physical conversation so that the what is ordinary can be turned into an extraordinary. What seems to be natural can become supernatural. Woman, where are you as far as this one is concerned? She opens up and says, hey, me, I don't have any. Yes, you have said right, because you had five. Even the one you have right now is not yours. That's what Jesus said. Because Jesus wants us to come to a place where we confess. We open up. We open up before him. You know, sometimes we confess before people the way we don't do it before God. And therefore we continue to struggle. People find it easier to open up to one another and say, this is my struggle. These are my struggles. How many of you seated here, you know that human beings have got limitation. There are only things which God can do in your life and nobody else can do in you. It's only God who can do it. Whenever you come before him, whenever you stand in his presence, open up before him. Confess who you are. And Vince, you remember what happened with Jacob when he wrestled with that man that night. It came to the morning, and this man was getting ready to go. I think that is in Genesis chapter 32. This man is getting ready to go, and he tells Jacob, leave me to go because it is daybreak, or it is morning now. And Jacob said, I will not leave you to go until you do what? You bless me. And then when Jacob came to that place, holding up to this man, and this man turned to him after a battle, a wrestling match throughout the night. In the morning, he asked him, what is your name? And you know what basically that one meant. He wanted Jacob to confess, Jacob to open up, so that he can be blessed. Jacob wants to be blessed in the presence of God, but he is hiding his true identity. And that basically where God wants us, all of us, to come, whereby we open up the real who we are. Can I say something here? If God shall help you, if God shall help me, then I need to open up to him. Never to hide anything. If I am weak, I'll tell him I am weak. If I am sick, I'll tell him I am sick. If I am defeated, I'll tell him I am defeated. And in you, I can find strength. Don't hide before God. This is the place to be open. This is the place to find help. This is the place where we can be helped by him. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, my neighbor. Open up to God. Turn to your neighbor again. Tell your neighbor, my neighbor. Open up to God. He wants to do something. He cannot bless you the way you are. He cannot bless you in that condition. He would like you to open it up and show him, this is me. And you know what, God? God loves you the way you are, but he doesn't want to keep you the way you are. He wants to change you. He wants to help you. And that is his foundational work in our lives. He will bless you. He has a special blessing for you. He is ready to heal you. He doesn't need to import any healing from anywhere. He himself, he is the healer. He himself, he is the savior. Having him, you have all in all. Can somebody say amen? If you talk to me, you come to the office and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I'll pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to intervene. But when you appear before him, he doesn't ask anybody. To the blind people, he himself used his saliva and mud, smeared it and gave this person a responsibility. Hey, there's nothing free you get from me. You need to take responsibility to actualize your miracle. You go and wash yourself. You know, there are things he does it for us, that which we cannot do. But what we can do, we better do it ourselves. Can I say something here? I'm about to teach about worship. That's where we are going. That's where we are going. Worshipping God is your responsibility.
Amen.
Then healing is his responsibility. Because sometimes we want God to do what we are supposed to do. It's like somebody wants to go before God and he doesn't want to explain himself. How do we communicate with God? We communicate to God, Pastor Vince, by talking to him in prayers. But sometimes we find people, even after appearing before Jesus, they are quiet. And after the service, they say, I'm still feeling pain. Whom did you tell you about your pain? You are in his presence.
Amen.
You never open up. How do you want him to appear to you? You have a problem in your marriage. But when you come before him, you don't want to open up. After the service, you want to look a professional counselor. And you know there are things only God can do. And there are things we are supposed to do. You need to open up. Somebody turn to a neighbor. Tell your neighbor, my neighbor. Open up to God. He shall help you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Can you remember the issue of the wall of Samaria when there was a drought, there was famine, and here these women decided, hey, let's eat your baby today and we shall eat you as tomorrow. And when the tomorrow came of that day, the other one refused to slay her baby so that they could eat. Remember, the one whose baby was slain ran where? To the king. He went to the king and said, King, I want you to help me. Yesterday, we ate my baby with an agreement that today we'll be eating her baby. She has refused. Now listen, this was supposed to be a court case. But the king looked at the environment, looked at the situation and said, if you are God, cannot help you. If God cannot help you, I can't help you. Because there are things only God can sort them out for you. There's things which nobody can do it for you. And that which you can do, please go ahead and do it. Can I hear a better amen? Like whenever we gather in a worship service, it is my responsibility. It is your responsibility to praise him and worship him. The Bible says he dwells in the praise of his people. Now that means when you praise, when I praise, when you praise and I praise, then he comes and dwells. It is our work to pull down his presence by praising him. So it is your responsibility and it's my responsibility. His presence is his responsibility. Can I hear a better amen here? So it's very important for us to understand. So this woman come to a place where she says, yes, now you have said it. You have said it. Now, personally, I don't have any husband. Now, let's go down there, verse 19. Then the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said, verse number 21, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. No, we need to understand this. She comes to a place where, in her engagement with Jesus, Jesus is talking about, hey, about worship. And this lady is talking about place of worship. Place of worship. We know that our forefathers used to worship in that mountain. And you are people worshiping Jerusalem. And that's sometimes the mindset which people have even when it's time to worship. People want to know how others are worshiping and how they should not worship. I don't know where they've been here. We have that problem in Africa. And that's why when I retire, being a pastor there, I'll just come here and be a church caretaker. Because there are no problems here. I'll be this church caretaker because I've been here in the course of the week. There's no caretaker here. I'll be employed as a caretaker because there are no problem here. In Africa, we have people who come to church and they want to look at how people are putting on, how the dancing styles are. This one is not dancing well. This one is not walking properly. This one is not putting on properly. I don't know where or whether those problems are here, but we have a lot of them in Africa. That's why we have had to take a break and be here. Then after here, we go back and tackle those problems. People come in the church all in a worship time and begin to be focused on what is worship.
That's right.
People begin to do in the right place, wrong things.
Amen.
And therefore they begin to miss who?
God.
Amen. She's standing before Jesus. But because of lack of revelation, she doesn't know who is talking to her.
Amen.
She speaks about other things. And that's why it's not a big issue. After every service, you'll find one or two people walking home complaining. Oh, today the service wasn't good. Things were not done well there. Those instruments were very high. I could hardly understand anything. I preach in Wales like an African preacher with a loud voice, and a lady walks out of that conference and say, the message was so good, but this man was very loud. Well, people pick what is not necessary. Has God spoken to you? Have you been focusing on the right thing? Leave that which does not make any difference in your life. Leave it alone. Take what God has for you. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Do not be focused on the mountain. Do not be focused on the building. Be focused on Jesus himself. He is standing before you. How I pray, may your inner eyes be open. Paul is praying for the church. How I pray, may the eyes of your understanding be open so that you may see. Can someone say see? So that you may see. I suppose a Samaritan woman could be seated in this building this morning, and Jesus is seated next to you. Jesus is standing next to you. How I pray, may your eyes be open so that you may See, because once you have a revelation of who God is, your response shall be bowing down. I say to be bowing down, because we can only respond to the presence of God by worshiping Him. Can someone say amen? Amen. That is the only way we can respond to His presence. Anytime you know that He's here. Once I enter into those doors, in the doors of this building, and once I connect to the grace which is there, the only thing I can do is to respond in worship. This one is borrowed from the palaces where kings used to be. How the subject and the masters used to respond. The moment the king appears before you, there was no democracy those days. Democracy is here and Kenya. There were no democracies though. Nobody was equal with another one. The master was a master and the subject was a subject. When the master appeared, the subject could lie down in a prostrate manner. All he could bow down in worship. All he could go and kiss the hand of the king. All he could do, whatever he could do, kneeling down in worship, because the response of a subject to the king is supposed to be worship. Can someone say worship? And the question is this: how do you respond to the King of Kings? How do you respond to the Lord of Lords? He deserves all the glory. I say He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the worship. I say He deserves all the worship. Someone say amen. Very important for us to understand. And therefore this woman standing before Jesus without any revelation. What am I trying to say here, church? Whenever I come to worship, whenever you come to worship, let it be known to us, we need to worship Him in revelation. By revelation, the way He appears to you. Okay, I'll come to that one as we continue. Very important for us to understand. I'll come to that. Worship is our affirmative response to the self-revelation of the true in God. True God or true in God. It is our affirmative response. It is our response to this God or Godhead. Of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is our response. So whenever I see people or I am seen worshiping, it must mean that this is my affirmative response to who He is. And not because my pastor is there, not because my wife is around, not because my friends are here. No. I worship Him because I am responding. I am responding. And remember, it comes as a result of personal revelation. And that's why whenever we stand to worship God, you see different response. There are people, whenever they ask, could you please stand up and begin to worship God? There are some raise their hands. I've been in a place where some go down, kneeling down. I've been in a place where people begin to speak in tongues. Even being asked, they begin to speak in tongues. I've been in a place where people are told, hey, could you please stand up so that we can begin to praise God? People begin to clap their hands because the personal revelation will determine the level at which you begin to worship Him. If you do not know Him yet, then you cannot worship Him in truth and in spirit. It will be very hard for you to give it all. You know, you can admire without worshiping, but you cannot worship without admiring. Once you have seen Him on a personal level, you can do anything for Him. You can do anything for Him. I have seen people crying. I've seen people kneeling down, regardless of their status in the family or in the society. I've seen people crying and tears are coming down. Nobody's beating them. Nobody's punishing them. They're responding to a personal revelation of who He is. Church, say amen.
Amen.
And God is seeking. He's in the business of seeking those who shall worship in truth and in. Now listen to me. Worship time is not a time to ask, how should I worship Him? No. Once you've seen Him, you cannot lose the sight of who He is. And once you cannot lose the sight of who He is, then you begin to respond. Worship is a personal response. to the revelation you have had about him. And my question is this. All of us will turn up in this service this morning. And some of us, we were here yesterday for a long day. And, you know, we climax everything with the dancing in a hotel. You know, we saw some people dancing and everything. And people are tired. Why are you here? The question is, why are you here? Everybody will say, I'm here to worship. Have you worshipped yet? Abraham said to the servant, remain here with the donkey.
That's right.
I and my son, we are going to worship. After we are done, we shall come back. Have you told your servant that I'm going to worship? If there's any servant left anywhere? Now that you are on the mountain, the question is this. We are about to say the grace. Have you worshipped him? That's the question I need to ask myself. I paid the air ticket to be here. Have I worshipped him this morning? Or I've wasted my time here?
Oh, glory.
Have I seen him?
Yes.
What did I do with his presence? If somebody saw you driving, going home, or stopping at the co-op shop down here, where are you coming from? I'm coming from the church. To do what? Most of us will say, to worship God. The question is this. Nobody's listening. All of us, we are in here. We can sort it by ourselves. Have you worshipped him? Because worship is the only thing you cannot delegate to any other person to do on your behalf. Worship is very personal. Because it has to be done on an altar where the presence of God is. And humanity presenting herself before the Creator. And the question is this. Have you worshipped him this morning? Are you going home satisfied? Did you see him? Well, those are some of the questions I ask myself even as I teach you. Or as I remind you, because some of us, we have heard about this teaching again and again. Have you worshipped him? And as we go home, we need to ask ourselves, I have 5 more minutes. I need to walk out of this place asking myself these questions. Have I worshipped him? Did I see him? Revelation is very, very important. That's why we have different levels of growth. We have different levels of understanding the Word of God. Because of how we see it. How do you see it? I don't know, yesterday I was sharing with you who, I can't remember whether it was Stanley or it was Richard. I can't remember whom we were talking. Or it was Molly. I cannot remember very well. But this person asked me about what is happening in Africa so far with the move of God and all that. And the basic reason as to why, God, we know, number one, he has an agenda for Africa. He would like to bring his light back to Africa. More than that, we do not have systems working for us. And whoever will help us, it is only God. We don't have medical covers.
That's right.
If today, God forbid, I am to be admitted here, my people cannot pay for it. Our church cannot pay for it. We don't have the medical covers. Where is my hope?
Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen.
So when I come before him, I have nothing to hold on to. Who I am and what I have comes from him. And I open myself to him, because if I don't open myself to him, there's no system which will help me.
Amen.
After
Amen.
The service.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we worship him with reservation, because I know if after here my wife shall cook for me. After here there's this I can hold on to. After here I have this reservation. After here I can hold on to this. If a hurricane comes, then there's something will sort me out. When this one happened to me, this one will sort me out. We buy insurance for our covers for our vehicles, But when we get into accident, no insurance is paying for you. You go to court, nobody will pay for you because of corruption. So where am I hanging to the Lord? What is happening? Before I leave in the house, I must say a prayer. God protect me on the way. As I drive, God help me to drive with wisdom. And God protect me from other rude and other bad drivers. God, my going and my coming back depends on you and not insurance company. That's why when we go to him without reservation and open up to him, God comes and intervenes. Can somebody say amen here? I say, can somebody say amen? And you know what? It can happen to you. It can happen to you even now. Once you open up yourself to him and begin to respond to who he comes and dwell in the praises of his own people. And when he comes and dwell in the praises of his own people, it doesn't matter the kind of challenges you are going through. Jesus shall help you. I say again, Jesus shall help you. Jesus is the hope of glory. Can someone say amen? Amen. Pastor Vince, we do not have much time to continue with this. But I'll finish by saying this. Every time I remember about worship, I talk to myself that I better worship him, because worship is not boring. And if it is boring, Pastor Lisa, then heaven is not for me. Because if you are bored worshiping the Lord here, then you are not a candidate for heaven. Pastoral ministry will end up here. Intercessory ministry will end up here on earth. Evangelism and missions will end up here. Bishop title will end up here. There's only one ministry remaining. It's a ministry of worship. It's a ministry of worship. You read chapter 4 of Revelation. Chapter 5 of Revelation. Chapter 7 of Revelation, you come to understand the business in heaven. The business in heaven is about the 24 elders bowing before. And what are they doing? Crying. When one say holy, the rest repeat, holy, holy, holy. And the Bible says they even bring down their crowns into the feet of the Lord of Lords. They take whatever they value. They take whatever has given them their name. They have taken whatever has given them their identity in the society. And they put it down because they cannot compare it with the presence of who he is. He's greater than my crown. He's greater than what I value. He's greater by my strength. He's greater than my mind. He's greater than what I value. When one comes to that revelation, he'll do exactly like what is happening in heaven. Put down whatever I have before him. And what can I do? I'll shout, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. And they confess and say, power belongs to him. Salvation belongs to him. 24/7. That is the language in heaven. And when we pray and say, our Father what in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Do you know what basically what we are asking? We are asking an extension of heaven here on earth. Do you know what is happening in heaven? It is not doing any other thing but worshiping, worshiping, worshiping. May thy kingdom come here in Lakenheath. May thy kingdom come in our lives. May thy kingdom come in this worship. May thy kingdom come in this service. May thy kingdom reign above everything. Somebody say yes. If his kingdom shall come down, if we shall say the Lord's Prayer with understanding, then we shall know exactly what to do after we come. May your kingdom come down. This cannot be compared with our earthly rulers. This is the kingdom of kings. And his kingdom coming here, it is the rule of God and his territory, dominion, coming down here to have an effect in everything around us. How I pray that whenever we come to worship, we shall worship in truth and in spirit. And this morning, if you are going home, the one thing I'd like you to remember, go praying to God, give me the revelation of who you are. Because once you see him, amen, then your worship changes. Amen. I tell you, your worship changes. Amen. Once you see him, the first song bring you down. Once you see him, the second song, you cannot withstand it, because the wordings themselves speaks to the one you have seen. And once you have seen him, nobody can change your mind. Nobody and nothing can take away your response to him and your focus to him. Can somebody stand up on your 2 feet? Raise your 2 hands right now. In the next. Hallelujah. 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 In the next few minutes, just open your mouth if you can. Begin to worship him if you can. Raise your voice right now. Raise your voice right now. Begin to worship him. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy to be worshipped. You are worthy. You are worthy to be magnified. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Lord. Jesus, we bless your name. We honor you, God. We love you, Jesus. We exalt your name. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. God, we bless you. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I do want to say thank you for what you have done in our lives. God, you gather us sometimes without us having the foreknowledge of what you shall do with us. God, we know our responsibility is to worship you, and other things it is for you to do on our behalf. Thank you, God, for this wonderful church. Thank you, God, for every person who sacrificially have turned up to this service. Because, God, worship must have a sacrifice. And for that reason, your people are seated here sacrificially. Some are still tired because of yesterday's event. And some were caught up with the other events somewhere. But God, they have sacrificially created this time to be in this service. God, how I pray for each one of them. May your grace be upon them. May you help us in the area of worship. That God, as we worship you, open our inner ear, our eyes, to be able to see who you are. And God, when we see you, we'll be able to worship you properly. God bless each one of us. Thank you for Pastor Vince and Pastor Lisa and the team working together with him and the entire body of Christ which comes to worship you every time. God bless this church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.